Check. Here we go. All right, thank you. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to look at verses 1 through 16. Psalm 119, we of course talked about it before. Right in the middle of the Bible, largest book of the Bible. A lot of interesting things to be said about Psalm 119. Let's join together and look at verses 1 through 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look at all you, into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. God, help us just to settle our minds, Lord, and be receptive to your word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us. Give me the words to say, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin tonight by reading a short New Year's poem to you this evening. I don't know the author of the poem, but the name of it is A New Year's Poem for Christians. It says this: instead of making a New Year's resolution, consider committing to a biblical solution. Your promises are easily broken, empty words, though earnestly spoken, but God's word transforms the soul by his Holy Spirit making you whole. As you spend time alone with him, he will change you from within. The beginning of a new year is a great time to examine ourselves and see exactly where we are spiritually. It's a good time to determine if there are areas where we can improve or maybe areas that we need to correct. There may be some bad habits that we need to break or some good habits that we need to start. But tonight's message is not about resolutions, but as the poem says, let's talk about committing to a biblical solution. In other words, as it says, improving our alone time with God in 2024. Specifically, our prayer life and our time spent reading God's word. Here we see the theme of Psalm 119 is the word of God. The writer of Psalm 119, which is not known for sure who wrote this psalm, but the writer obviously had a love for God's word. Every verse in Psalm 119, with the exception of five verses, makes some reference to God's word. But we see, as you read through, we see that the writer alternates between prayers for God's help and affirming his own faith in God's word. By way of introduction, I want to part right here and talk about these two subjects for a minute before we get into the body of the message. I want to talk about prayer and reading God's word, spending time in God's word. So first of all, let's talk about prayer. What is prayer? Prayer, a basic, simple definition of prayer, is communication with God. God is real, and God is a personal God that we can have a personal relationship with. You see, our God is not some cosmic force out in some black hole in the universe that's not available. God is not some statue made of wood or steel. He is a personal God that we can have a personal relationship with. And we begin that relationship with God with prayer, and we continue and we build that relationship with God with prayer. Jesus himself set an example regarding the importance of prayer. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. If Jesus relied on prayer, how much more do we need to make prayer a priority? Remember our prayer time, our individual private prayer time is a personal time spent with a personal God. But not only the Bible teaches that prayer is not only personal, but prayer is powerful. We are communicating with the Lord God of the universe. We're talking to an all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, ever-present, sovereign God. Charles Stanley, the former pastor of First Baptist Church of Atlanta, had a great quote about prayer. I love this quote and use it often. He said prayer is the most powerful weapon on earth. The most powerful weapon on earth. But spending time alone with God involves prayer, and it also involves talking to God and listening to God as we spend time in prayer, but it also involves reading the Bible, God's written holy word. We see here in Psalm 119 that God's word dominated the psalmist's life. He gives indication of when and how he spent time in God's word. There are several references to that. First of all, number one, in verse 147, he said he spends time in the word before dawn. Number two, verse 97, he says he spends time in word daily. Number three, he says he spends time in the word seven times daily in verse 164. Number four, he says he's in the word nightly, verse 55 and 148, and then also says he spends time in the word at midnight. So the word of God dominated his life. He was continually in the word, and he used different terms to represent God's word in Psalm 119. He referred to it as the law, the testimony, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, the word, and ordinances. These are all descriptive words meant to represent and illustrate the written word. But the psalmist says in verse 160, he said this, the entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. So for you and I today, God's word, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is truth. The entirety of God's word is truth. Truth is a personal characteristic of God. The Bible says he is the God of truth in the book of Isaiah. The Bible says he is abounding in goodness and truth in the book of Exodus. The Bible says he is the God of truth without injustice in the book of Deuteronomy. Because God is a perfect God, he cannot lie, and he speaks and acts in truth. Jesus himself said in John 17:17, in his own prayer, he said, thy word is truth. That's why we say that the Bible is inerrant. In other words, without error. That's why we say the Bible is infallible. There is nothing false in God's word. God is truth. His word is truth. God reveals himself to us through his written word. And this revelation of truth in the Bible, we spend time in God's word. He reveals himself to us. That is a revelation of truth to us. He speaks to us in that way. And let me just pause for just a moment and speak a moment to something that my own commentary for you this evening. This is free. In our society today, the issues and problems and the reason for our spiritual bankruptcy in America today is that over a period of time, we have abandoned God's word. That's the basic fundamental problem. A nation that was founded on biblical principles, and in recent years, we have abandoned those fundamental Christian principles. In other words, we are now a post-truth society. We are a post-truth society. That is not me talking. That is a known fact that where we are as a society is that we are post-truth. We have abandoned the word of God, and there is a vacuum. There is a vacuum in our society that has taken place because we have removed the word of God from society. And so that is the reason there has to be a returning to truth, God's truth. That is what will heal and cure our country. Amen. So prayer, God's word. Using the poet's words here, again, he says, as you spend time alone with him, he will change you from within. So, beginning of a brand new year, January 2024, maybe for you and I, it's an opportunity to hit the reset button, to examine ourselves and see where we are in our prayer life, in our time, in our Bible reading time, spending time in God's word, spending time alone with God. So, the title of our lesson tonight, taken from the poem, Committing to a Biblical Solution. Committing to a Biblical Solution. Spending time in God's word and spending time in prayer will, number one, help us to stay on the right course. To stay on the right course, look at verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. The psalmist here in verse 10 shares his innermost heart's desire. He says, I want to seek you, Lord. I want to pursue you. Notice he is all in. He says, with my whole heart, 100%, I have sought you. God, I want to draw near to you. I want to come after you. And then in the second part of this verse, he says, God, don't let me wander off the right path. I want to pursue you, God. And God, I'm asking you to help me stay on course. Listen. God has a plan and a path for every one of us here in this room. God has a plan for every believer and a path for them to follow. Now, for all of us in here as Christians, as God's people, as God's children, all of us will share God's plan that are similar, are the same. And God has a unique and special plan for each one of you, each one of us individually. God has a plan. We're not random robots. God has a plan for his people, for each one of us. And God's word gives us guidance and direction to keep us on the right path. The Bible is the best GPS system that we have. It will show us the way. I heard about a newspaper article in the Toronto Sun. The Toronto Sun newspaper published quotes taken from insurance forms back in the day when they had paper forms. These are statements given by people who were in an automobile accident and asked to write a summary statement on their insurance form. These are actual statements taken by people involved in a wreck. First one says, "Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree that I don't have." The next one, he said this, "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve several times before I hit him." Here's another one. Statement of someone involved in a wreck. "An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my vehicle, and vanished." And here's my favorite. "The indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth." In this book we call the Bible, as I said, we find guidance, guys. God gives us directions and instructions on how to stay on the right path, how to stay in God's will, how to please God, and how to fulfill God's plan for our life. But sometimes, for whatever reason, and our reasons can sound as silly as these statements from these drivers in the wreck. Sometimes, for whatever reason, we wander off, we swerve off the path or off the road, and have a wreck spiritually. In 2024, let's pursue God. Let's stay in his word. Let's maintain a prayer life to keep us on the right path. Number two, we see here, time in God's word and an effective prayer life helps us to, number one, stay on the right course. We see here it also helps us live the right way. Helps us live the right way. Verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's a well-known popular verse. But you know, the Bible teaches us that we're all born into this world with a sin nature. Bible also tells us that when we get saved by asking Jesus into our heart, that sin nature doesn't go away. We continue to struggle with sin. The Bible teaches that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, takes up residence within us. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God and our sin nature, the flesh, do what? Battle with each other. They wrestle against each other. There's this ongoing struggle within our lives between our sin nature and the Holy Spirit of God. You know, there's a theory or a saying in football that the best defense is a good offense. In other words, the best way to defend against the other team scoring is to keep your offense on the field. And I always thought that was made up by some football coach. I thought that was unique to the world of football. But this strategy, the best offense is a good defense, is actually attributed to George Washington. It is a strategy that he used in battle. I actually got that wrong. The best defense is a good offense. Today, this strategy is used in the military, in sports, in business, but it's also necessary in the Christian life. The psalmist says here, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to go on the offensive. I'm going to learn. I'm going to read. I'm going to apply your word and hide it in my heart. Be proactive. Go on the offensive. Intentionally get in God's word to overcome sin, to defend against sin. The Bible says God's word is alive. And when we get it inside of us, it enables us to overcome temptation, to resist sin, and live a life that is pleasing to God. So we see here, not only does prayer time and reading God's word help us to stay on the right course, live the right way. Number three, it helps us to want the right things. To want the right things. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. The psalmist verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And then verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. The psalmist asked God here to teach him. Again in verse 26, he says, teach me thy statutes. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. 9 times in this psalm, the writer says he asked God to teach him. This is a great example of humility, saying, God, you're all-knowing, all-wise. You are the instructor. I am your student. Teach me your ways. Teach me your word. I want to learn from you, God. I come to you as your student. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 3:12, he said this, not that I have already attained or already perfected. Paul, a super spiritual giant himself, knew that he had not achieved the utmost spiritual maturity, that he had not attained, that he had not become perfect in terms of his spiritual maturity. We should never think that we have arrived or that we know it all. You know, all of us in here, if we were to take a survey of our age, we are an old bunch, for sure. We have one young couple back there. I think we would probably, most of us qualify as baby boomers. That means we're old, is what that means. But you know, and many of you in here have been Christians for a long time, many, many years, maybe your entire, you know, most of your life since you were a kid or something. But no matter how long we've been a believer, we should never be satisfied with where we are spiritually. Amen? We should always, always be teachable. Let me say this, when my kids were growing up, that was a principle that I tried to instill in them. Always be teachable. I don't know about now, but I know that as they got older, I heard them say that, refer to that, to always be teachable. You know, not only in their spiritual life, but in their practical life, in their education, and their career, and their relationships, their marriage and family. Always be learning. Always be growing. Always be developing. But it's certainly true in our spiritual life. That's I want to take that away. It's January 2024. Let's have a sense of renewal in our own life and committing to a new year of growing spiritually, developing spiritually. We're like Paul. None of us have attained or arrived, you know, to where we can just quit saying we need to learn and grow and study God's word. We should always be growing and developing spiritually. We need to be teachable. And as pray as the psalmist prayed, teach me, O Lord. Realizing that we haven't arrived, and ask God to teach us. But he says there in verse 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all the riches. The psalmist delights in the doctrines of God's word more than he does in the dollars of this world. He wants the right things in life. So let's commit to a biblical solution, if you will. Spending more time in God's word, having that quiet time of being alone with God on a regular basis through prayer and Bible reading. It will keep us on the right path, help us to live the right way, and help us to want the right things. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together, Lord. God, help us to maybe renew our commitment, this kind of a fresh outlook on our time alone with you in this new year. God, help us to daily set aside a regular time for prayer, for Bible reading, for seeking you, as the psalmist said, as drawing near to you, pursuing you, God, and as the poem says, God, as we spend time alone with him, he will change us from within. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.